We thank you because you're our sustenance. We do not take it for granted, O God. We say, Lord, accept our thanks. Accept our praises in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be in God's presence. You know that life is all about choices. When you think about it, life is all about choices. Before we go into what I'll share. Recently, we had a meeting, and a gentleman was talking, and he said some things that I thought to myself, I was like, wow, I never knew this. He said that as a student, he was doing three jobs. As a student, he was working three jobs. So, say, come Friday evening, he goes to work. Comes back Saturday morning, gets ready for another job, goes for that one. Comes back in the evening, goes to the third job Saturday night. Comes back Sunday morning, quickly gets ready, comes to church. He was like, oh, that, you know, Pastor D will be there waiting to pick him up. I never realized that at that point in time, as in literally he's done almost 24-hour shift, and he was consistently early to church. And, you know, when he was saying this, what I'm saying is like maybe almost a decade ago. But, you know, when he said this, I thought to myself, I was like, little wonder God is, you know, sorting this guy out. The commitment, the dedication that he was showing in the things of God, in the challenging situations. I always say this, I don't get tired of saying it. When you go about God's business, God will go about your business. He will sort you out. The choices you make will determine where you find yourself. Sometimes we wonder, why aren't things happening for me? Why isn't it happening the way, you know, it should? Or why is it happening for some other person and not me? Sometimes all we need to do is just reflect and ask ourselves, are we doing the right things? Are we making the right choices? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to read from the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 from verses 25 to 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. I read from the New King James Version. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Amen. I want to talk on the topic, Christ, the fall and rising of many. That is Jesus Christ, the fall and rising of many. Someone asked me, they said that, which is my favorite period, my favorite season. And I didn't hesitate. I said Christmas. I am one of those people who, man, I'm sold out. I love Christmas. Whether it is snow or Hamatan, whichever country you find yourself, it's, you know, Christmas is one, it's a wonderful time of the year. I love singing carols. I'm one of those people that, even when I was much younger, by late October, I'm already playing Christmas carols in my car. I'm those kind of people. But why, you know, I look at Christmas, and then obviously you've got Easter. You can't separate Easter from Christmas, as you cannot separate Christmas from Easter. Without one, there would not be the other. If the other did not happen, then the one would not matter. So if Christ was not born, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here today. But if Christ did not go to the cross to give his life, a choice, he made a choice. If he did not make that choice, still we would not be here. Remember what he said? He said, you know, if it were possible, let this cup pass over me. But yet, not my will, but your will be done. If he did not make that choice, we won't be here today. So it works both ways. They're, you know, equally important. I read this passage, and, you know, it said, Christ, that the child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And that kind of got me thinking, the fall and rising of many in Israel. But let's talk a bit about the man who said this, Simeon. Oftentimes when we read the Bible, it's so easy to forget that the people we're reading about were actually real life people that lived as we're living now. You know, sometimes we need to learn to see the funny side in the scriptures. Samson's parents, that the father was like, oh, wow, we've seen the angel of the Lord, we're going to die. And the wife said, come on, if you were going to die, you'd be dead by now, come on. But, you know, the Bible, we sometimes, let's just take time and think about, you know, the context and what is being said. You know, yeah, it can be lighthearted. We read the scriptures, and sometimes we don't really think about the people we're reading about and the things that are going on with them. This man, Simeon, now, what do we know about him? We're told that he was a man in right standing with God. He was in right standing, and more importantly, he had a relationship with him. So Simeon had a relationship with God. Jesus Christ was just born. Yet, verse 25 tells us that he was devout. He was just. He had the Holy Spirit on him. I actually found that interesting. That the Bible said, you know, that he had the Holy Spirit on him. He was a Jew, but it was someone that had the Holy Spirit on him. Verse 26 told us that the Holy Spirit had told him that he wouldn't die before seeing the Messiah. So that suggests that he had a relationship. Not just that, the Holy Spirit was actually interacting with him, talking to him, telling him stuff. So someone that had been told, you know what, you're not going to die before you see the Messiah. Now, we're not told when that message was given to him. Right? We don't know. We're not told how long he heard the message. My guess would have been, it had been a while. That would be my guess, that, you know, it had been a while that he had been told, you're not going to die until you see, you know, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. Now, this guy was obviously old, because in verse 29, it was like, now, verse 29, said, Lord, now, you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Sounds almost like what Paul said, you know, I fought the good fight. You know, I've done my bit. Now I can move on. And that was his statement. So it suggests to me that, you know, it was probably an old man by the time, you know, Christ was born. And he said, you know what? Now I'm ready to go. Praise the Lord. Now your servant can depart in peace. And in the same way, as Christians now, we should have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I like to believe that the Spirit of God speaks to us. He says things to us. My sister was talking. She said this year was declared the year of open doors. She had her highs. She had her lows. For some of us, God would have said something to us from the very beginning of the year. Some of us might have thought it's going to happen in January or by the middle of the year. Come January, come the middle of the year, did it happen? But are you still holding on to God's word? Are you still holding on to God's word? Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly, the NIV, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Don't, you know, hold unswervingly to the hope you have. What has God said to you? What has the Holy Spirit said to you? He is a faithful God that has promised. In Thessalonians says that, you know, he who has promised will also do it. He will perform it. What has God promised you? Simeon saw God's word to him come to pass, and he experienced peace in the end. My prayer is that you'll experience God's peace even as you hold on to his word in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You know, there were two profound statements that Simeon made when he blessed the Lord Jesus. The first one is in verse 32. In verse 32 of that Luke, he said, Jesus Christ will be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Luke chapter 2, verse 32. Now, this was Simeon speaking about Jesus Christ. He said, it will be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So that was the first prophetic utterance that he made, that Jesus Christ will be a light to bring revelation to Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles alike. A glory to the people of God, the Israelites. Now, a total stranger comes. You come to church. A total stranger comes, picks up your child and, starts proclaiming, wow, this child is going to be for signs and wonders in his generation. This child is going to cause transformation. In terms of words of prophecy, you can imagine how the parents would have felt at that time. Wow, is this for real? The Bible says they were amazed. They were amazed by what he was saying. But immediately after saying that, someone now says in verse 34, says, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. If you're a parent, how would you feel at that point in time? Just let's think about it for a minute. How would you feel at that point in time? After saying, it's going to be a light, it's going to bring, and then says, actually, you know what? This child is going to be for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. I can imagine Mary and Joseph being literally confused or confounded. I can see them, being stumped and thinking to themselves, what on earth does this mean? Some of us will say, God forbid. That's the first thing we'll say. True or false? Let's be real. We'll just reject that in Jesus' name. A fall of many. We reject it. Satan, get thee behind me. But, I read that passage and I was thinking to myself, what does it mean? the fall and the rise. And for me, this kind of speaks about the paradox that is Jesus Christ. I remember a while back sharing a message on that. You think about Jesus. Jesus was all God, but he was all man. Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he was the Lamb of God. And you see so many seeming contrasts about Jesus. And here we're being told Jesus will be for the fall and the rise of many. And the verse that came to mind was what Jesus himself said in, I believe it's Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew 10, 34, a statement Jesus himself made. He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." It will be for the fall and the rise of many. And Jesus himself said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." So why a fall? Why rising? Why peace? Sorry, why the sword and not peace? The paradox that is Christ. If Jesus Christ said, "I came to bring sword and not peace," but yet the Bible tells us that he's the Prince of Peace, right? I mean, that's what we celebrate. Is it Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 that talks about, you know, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government of the world shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So the Prince of Peace saying, "I did not, you know, come for peace. I came to bring a sword." Fast forward a bit to Matthew 26, 52. When Jesus Christ, again, I was reading this recently, Judas betrayed Jesus. He came to the Garden of Gethsemane with, you know, the high priest men. Peter picks up the sword, or a dagger, as it was, cuts off the hair of one of the servants. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, "Put your sword away, because those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Don't you think I can command, you know, the heavens to send a host, an army for me?" He could do that. So it wasn't about fighting. And yet he said he brought sword. But he told his disciples, "Leave sword aside. It's not about the sword." Paradox. So what was Jesus really on about? What was he on about? Saying that it will be for a fall and the rising of many. He brought a sword and not peace. Did Jesus really mean a literal sword? I believe not. And that's why I said, you know, I started by saying that life is all about choices. The choices we make. What choices are we making? What choices are we making? Can we, I mean, we probably know it. This is a passage that every child will quote for us. John 3:16. John 3:16 says that. Church, can we chorus it? Please, put it. John 3:16. Praise the Lord. Can anyone say John 3:17? No. Okay. So, for can you say 18? No, he deserves a round of applause because all of us, we know John 3:16. Nobody remembers John 3:17. How about 18? Yeah, paraphrase. At least you know the already. Praise the Lord. she remembered the already. You know, I say choices. The topic I actually wanted to share with us is, do you remember when Harry and, what's her name, Meghan, when they got married? And they said there was this American bishop that preached. And some people I know that say, yeah, you know, we're excited. You know, they probably watched it and listened to. And, you know, this preacher preached about love. And every time I listen to the Premier Radio, apparently in their magazine, I think they interviewed him. And there's a claim that the American bishop's message, you know, brought him some fame, in quote, a powerful message about love. And I thought to myself, what does love have to do with anything? There's a lady that sang a song some, I think over three decades ago. And she said, what's love got to do with it? If you're nodding your head, some people are already doing this. I didn't say you should be singing the song in your mind. Huh? If you don't know it, then it shows that you're for a particular generation. If you know it, it shows which side you are. But you know, that song, I mean, she said, what's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? We know it, right? But love has everything to do with it. Love has everything to do with it. When the Christmas season, what are we celebrating? The love of Christ. Why are we here today? It's because of the love that was shown to us. They said that Christmas, that we're going back to a period when, you know, was it Constantine that converted the Rome to Christianity and instituted Christmas? And we're told that celebration actually was a day of pagan worship. But because there was an instruction by the head of state, the emperor, that, you know, we all, we're now Christians, we're converting to Christianity, people had to toe the line. And the most convenient date was to choose a period that worked well. So let's celebrate Christ on that day. But that it was a mixed celebration. I pray that we'll get to a place when our heads of state will say, you know what? It has to be Christianity. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Okay, maybe some people don't believe. They don't believe it can happen. I believe it can happen. I pray it will happen. Because the Bible says we should pray for our leaders. It says the hearts of kings are in the hands of the Lord. And as the water courses, it directs them however it wills. If our leaders, if their hearts are in God's hand, are we even praying for them? Thank you, sir, for the corporate prayer we had. On Tuesday, there's going to be, at the House of Parliament, they're going to be voting regarding Theresa May's Brexit proposal. Are we praying for God's perfect will? Or do we're not even bothered? Many of us are not even bothered. Whatever happens, happens. Either way, it will affect us. So, Christmas, a forced celebration for Christ. Nowadays, they say we're going back to how it originally was. Very mixed. Year in, year out, we talk about how Christ has been removed from Christmas. We talk about how so many schools, you know, it's all about Santa Claus now. Santa Claus is coming to town. It's all about Santa Claus. The guy with the white beard and the red cloak. Praise the Lord. Choices. Choices. What choices do we make? Love has everything to do with it. Without God's love, Christmas wouldn't be here. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a choice there. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. So God did his part. God is loving. He showed his love. Asked the Son, you know what? Son, I need someone to go. Will you go for us? The Son says, yes, I will go. The Son goes. The Son matures. Comes to a point. The Son has to give his life so that his birth would have meaning. The Son made a choice to say, okay, I'll give my life. I'll shed my blood. And he did that. The Bible says, whoever, meaning not everybody will, or not everybody may, but you have a choice. If you believe in him, you'll not perish. You'll have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Again, from God's perspective, it's not about condemnation. From God's perspective, it is about salvation. I want all men to be saved. However, verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. What choice have you made? What choice are you making? He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. You have a choice to believe or not to believe. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ, the fall and rising of many. So when Simeon was talking and saying that, you know what, this child is destined to make some people fall, it wasn't so much that Christ is going to come and, you know, trip people up. That's not the point. People will fall because of the choice they make. So Christ is revealed as the Son of the living God. Earlier on, during Sunday school, we were talking about maturity. And we're saying that in Hebrews 6, that we should move on from the basic doctrines. And we say, what do we mean by those basic doctrines or the elementary principles? And I said to a couple of the ladies, I said that the Apostles' Creed, you know, there's that says, we believe in God the Father and Jesus Christ, his only Son. We believe in the crucified, that he descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. Yes? And for me, those are the basic doctrines that we should know. As Christians, do you believe that God, that, you know, do we believe in the triune God? We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came as man. Earlier on, I said the God-man, that he came as man and died for the sin of the world. Do you know that? Do you believe that? That he, when he was crucified, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He willfully chose to be crucified to shed his blood so that we might be saved. He rose again. He died and he rose again. If we do not believe in resurrection, then we would not be here today. And the fact that he said, if I go to the Father to prepare a place, if I go, I will come back. We believe he's coming back. He's coming back for a church, for a bride without spot, without wrinkle. We are that bride. You and I, we are the church that he's coming for. Are you set for his coming? If he comes back today, we're celebrating Christmas in a couple of weeks or in a few weeks' time. If he comes back today, his second coming, would you be ready? Praise the Lord. I love Christmas because it's a time to really reflect. Take stock. Are you ready? So if he comes right now, are you ready to go with him? Christian maturity. All those comments about being prepared, are you? It says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when Simeon said he's destined for the fall and the rise of many, I said he's destined to cause the fall, because those who are meant to be expectant and should be ready for him would deny him. Destined for the fall. Those who are meant to be expectant and ready for him would deny him. So you think about the context of Israel. At that point in time, they were under Roman rule. There were troubles. Things weren't going right. They were expecting the Messiah. But yet, when he manifested himself, John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All they could think about was blasphemy. How can he say he's the Son of God? How can he claim to be God? How can he claim to be equal with God? Away with him. Let us kill him. That is all they could think about. He said that, even Jesus said that, speaking about the Pharisees, said in as much as they were saying, yes, they know that their fathers, killed the prophets, that they were even condemning themselves because they were aligning themselves with those who were killing the people of God. When he was brought before Pilate, what did they say? Pilate said, what has this guy done? He doesn't deserve death. They said, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said, I'm washing my hands of his blood. They said, no problem. Let his blood be on us and our children. So when Simeon was saying he's destined for the fall of many, the people that were expecting him, that should have been ready, that when he comes, yes, thank the Lord, the Messiah has come, they were the same people that denied him and were ready to kill him. How about the rise? Said he's destined for the rise of many, because those who were destined for condemnation and death would have life in accepting him. Who are those that are going to rise? The people that have been condemned, that had no hope, that had no choice. The Bible says he came to his own. His own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children, the sons and daughters of God, even those who believed on his name. So there were some people that, they didn't really have a choice. Under normal circumstances, they were lost. There was no hope. But yet, the hand of grace was extended to them. And because the hand of grace was extended to them, they became a people of hope. They had a choice. They made a choice to be saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Over the next coming weeks, we're going to be in the festive mood. We're already in the festive mood. We're celebrating. But life is about choices. Life is about choices. What choices are we making? What choices are you making? Whosoever believes in him. Whosoever means there is a choice. A sword and not peace. The fact that you believe in him, the fact that you accept him, the fact that you claim to be a child of God, people will be against you. People, see, the mere fact that you even say you're a Christian, some people naturally, they're already against you. There's a stereotype now that, you know, oh, he's a Christian, he's got to be a bigot. Because Christians are bigots, right? We don't see the way the world sees. So we think we're holier than thou. And that's a mindset that pervades. Jesus Christ had enemies. So if you're a Christian and you're Christ-like, you think everybody's going to love you? They're not. If everybody's all lovey-dovey to you, check yourself. Maybe you're compromising. If Christ had enemies, there will be people that will be against you. There will be people that will try to trip you up. You talk about entrapment. But Christ is there for you. The world may be against you, but Christ is for you. The sword that comes, even family members might be against you. Those that should be your friends, those that you call friends, might be against you because you say you're a Christian. But you know that you have another family. You have another family. The body of Christ. He said that you shouldn't be worried about anything. In all things, by prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God. Make it known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Shall we rise up to pray? Jesus Christ, the fall and the rise of many. And I say that life is about choices. I just want you to reflect this afternoon. What choices have you made? What choices are you making? Are you making choices that will lead to your uplifting? Are you making choices that will elevate you? Or are you making choices that will keep you down? Are you making choices that will keep you, that will make you not to be who God has called you to be? God has done his part. Jesus Christ has done his part. The Holy Spirit is doing his part. It was the same Holy Spirit that spoke to Simeon. He had a relationship and revealed things to him. What are the things the Holy Spirit is revealing to you? Please, don't just keep quiet. Pray for yourself. Reflect. Where you are, take stock. We're coming to the end of 1 year, and by his grace, we'll be moving into a new year. How has this year been for you so far? Can you truly say that you were sold out for Jesus Christ? Can you truly say in 2018, you've done your best? You've been the best you can be. Can you truly say in 2018 that by his grace you've excelled? Can you truly say in 2018 that in terms of your relationship with him, it's been top notch? In terms of your worship, it's been awesome. In terms of your service, you know, it's second to none. Or can you say, oh, I could have done way better? What choices are you making? Someone once said that if we say God is far away, we should ask ourselves, who moved? Is it God that has moved, or is it you? The book of James says that, you know, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. We need to take that conscious step. We need to make that conscious decision. Just pray for yourself this afternoon that the Christ you have known will lead to your upliftment, that it will not bring condemnation to you. The Bible says about some people in Rome that because they knew God and did not acknowledge Him as God, they were given to depraved minds. Pray that you would acknowledge God as God in all ways, that as you've known Him, you walk with Him. As we celebrate His birth, we should also be thinking about His second coming. When He comes, will you be ready? Because He said He's coming for a bride, a church without spot, without wrinkle. Are you there yet? If He comes today, would you be one of those people that will say, yes, let's go. You're spotless. We have our parts to play. So as we're celebrating Christmas, let us celebrate His birth. But let us remember that He's coming back. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. And He has expectations. He has expectations for each and every one of us. Are we walking in line with His expectations for us? Do we know His expectations of us? My prayer for each and every one of us is that as we've decided for the cross, as we've decided for Christ, we will not turn back in Jesus' name. As we've laid our hands on the plow, we'll not look back in Jesus' name. I pray that nothing will hinder our walk, our progress towards the heavenly calling in the mighty name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for another time in Your presence. We thank You, Lord, that even as Your word says, that Your Son Jesus Christ came and was destined for the fall and the rising of many, that for us as a people, because of Christ, we're rising in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll go from strength to strength. We'll go from glory to glory in the mighty name of Jesus. That, Lord, at Your second coming, we'll not be found wanting. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the praise, Heavenly Father. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. Amen. And shall we share the grace and fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.